On this Martin Luther King Day, we want to spend a few minutes with someone who was inspired by him. Shirley Franklin was the first African-American woman to be mayor of a major southern city, Dr. King's hometown of Atlanta. Today, she is the Barbara Jordan Chair at the University of Texas, and she's with us from Georgia Public Broadcasting in Atlanta. And Mayor Franklin, welcome to you. And I want to start by asking you, how much progress do you think the nation has made on the issue that Dr. King cared about, civil rights, since his assassination in 1968?
Well, there's no question if you look throughout the South that there's a major change in the South in terms of the election of African-Americans and women and Latinos and gay political leaders. I mean, there's no question that there's been tremendous change. The question that we often grapple with, though, is whether it's enough change. And I think many of us would say it's not enough, but it certainly has changed a good bit.
Well, and at the same time that we have seen a lot of change, we also see the stories that have dominated the headlines in recent months out of Ferguson, Missouri, the police shooting of Michael Brown there, the Eric Garner story in New York City. How do you put that together with the progress that has been made?
Well, unfortunately, we have not reached the beloved community that Dr. King talks about. I mean, clearly the Garner case and the Brown case and the Trayvon Martin case, these are all cases that indicate that there is still a lot of prejudice, a lot of fear, and far too much violence in the United States. And sometimes that violence is perpetrated or used by people that we expect are going to protect us and instead are harming us. So there's no question that we have a long way to go, but I think it's a mistake, especially when we're celebrating Dr. King's birthday and holiday, to act as if nothing has changed, because, in fact, a lot has changed.
But was it inevitable that we're only just where we are, that we haven't gotten further, just because it takes a long time for these kinds of changes to happen? Or is there something that you think that could have been done differently that would have gotten us to where we should be?
I think we often forget. I mean, sometimes we think that we've accomplished so much that we can keep our eye away from the details. Certainly the election of President Barack Obama started a conversation about a post-racial society in the United States. And those of us who have been paying attention to race and ethnicity and other issues of diversity know we are a long way from being post-racial or completely free of discrimination. So these cases we're talking about remind us that we have a lot farther to go. And unfortunately, people lose their lives in the process. But I was elected mayor of Atlanta when I could not have been elected mayor of Atlanta when I was born, when I graduated from high school, or when I graduated from college. So my life is a witness in many ways to that there have been changes. But does that mean that I don't fear for young people who are coming up today? No, it doesn't mean that at all.
Well, when you were elected, did you think that that was a direct result in a way of the legacy of Dr. King? Or how did he influence you personally?
Well, there's no question that I think it was a direct result of the efforts of Dr. King and Coretta King and really lots of other people. I went to the March on Washington as a college freshman at Howard University. And I was inspired then by his words, not knowing that I would even move south some years later. I am reminded that he challenged us in 1963 to be a part of a revolutionary movement, a peaceful movement, a nonviolent movement that would include people who not just looked like me, but that everyone in America would have the same kinds of opportunities that the more privileged had had.
What's the relationship today, do you think, in your city, in Atlanta, between blacks and whites?
Well, it depends on the issue. People know each other in a different way. They're working together. They pray together. They do politics together. But on the other hand, some neighborhoods are still segregated. Some parts of Georgia are all white or all black. So, and there are these continuing tensions between the races. And there is, unfortunately, not much conversation about it until we come to a holiday celebration or some critical problem like one that we've described with police violence. Why is it that African-American and Latino children are not doing well in school? Why is it that there is this tension between blacks and whites on a personal level that results in brutality or name-calling. We have to work against that. I frankly, I mean, Jeremy, it's interesting that you say, because years ago when I was a teenager and a young adult, I thought that these problems would be resolved by now.
Why do you think they haven't?
Oh, I just think human nature, it's the push and pull of human nature, changes hard. People move on with their lives and they get very directed on their own issues. And they think, well, you know, I have black friends, I have white friends, I know that there are immigrants in my community. I mean, everyone will do fine as long as they work hard. Well, a lot of people will do fine if they just work hard. But then there's another group of people who need a special attention because they don't have the same opportunities. Unfortunately, I think some of what we're seeing today will be resolved over the course of my granddaughter's age as opposed to my lifetime.
Well, and if you look at it from an economic perspective, you could say that it may get worse because with income inequality being a bigger problem, we do see a much higher, for example, unemployment rate among African Americans than whites.
There's no question about it. I mean, as wonderful as Atlanta is, we have a very high, in the city of Atlanta, high poverty rate. The poverty rate has been over 20% since Andrew Young was mayor. And we haven't figured out how to break that cycle. Some of that, I think we have examples of. I work with an organization called Purpose Built Communities, who is dedicated to breaking the cycle of poverty through neighborhood redevelopment. But that's one neighborhood at a time, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people at a time. And we are a country of hundreds of millions.
Finally, I want to just play you a little bit of this speech that we all remember, Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech at the Lincoln Memorial in August of 1963. Let's listen.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Shirley Franklin, what are your thoughts as you hear those words now more than 50 years later?
That Dr. King's dream is still alive and that those of us who care about a better world better rededicate ourselves to the realization. I sat there on the Lincoln Memorial with my mother and cousins that day. And I was inspired then, and I am still inspired to work hard and to be honest and to do everything that I can. And I know that I am joined by literally thousands of other Americans who care in the same way.
Shirley Franklin, former mayor of Atlanta, Martin Luther King's hometown. She was mayor from 2002 to 2010, the first African-American woman to lead a major southern city. She's now the Barbara Jordan Chair at the University of Texas. Shirley Franklin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.